family in the same city that were able to help us out. We're struggling with our building. We had a flood of sewer, but amen, we're getting it fixed. Hopefully we could get it soon and we could be back in our building. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This morning. Many times, as Christians, we get a false narrative of, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm right with God. And the false narrative is, everything should be okay. But how many of us know this morning that's not the case? You read your Bible, you could see there were more struggles than blessings. You see times of chaos. You see times of ups and downs. And we always ask ourselves why. How many of you even know sin is the reason why we're dealing with what we're dealing with this morning? Every single one of us have sinned. The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But how many know the Bible says that God will take the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise? And I don't know about you, but I qualify for that. Amen? As I'm sure all of us feel the same. But there's a story that takes place here in Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus is doing some works. Jesus is cleanses a leper. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. There's some things that are taking place. And it comes to a place here that something happens that I love the Bible because many times we could read past some certain things. But I want to look at here starting in verse 18. He just healed a demon-possessed man. And all of a sudden, here in verse 18, we're going to read from verse 18 all the way down to 26. The Bible says, and when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the seas and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be that even the winds and sea obey him? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for each and every person in this place. God, we ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, God. God, that you would draw each and every single one of us closer to you, regardless of where we're at in our walk with you, Lord. I pray, God, against the words and the lies of the enemy. I come against the words of man, Lord, and ask that the words of the Holy Spirit himself ring loud and clear in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach a sermon called To the Other Side. To the Other Side. And here we are in the first part of our scripture. And Jesus is there, and he just did some miracles. How many know our God is a miracle God? Amen. If you're in this place, you've got any struggles, you've got any issues, you've got any sicknesses, any type of things that are happening in your life, let me tell you something. God is a miracle God, and he could help you this morning. But here's the thing we got to understand about God. God doesn't make things disappear. God helps us through them. And the reason is because how many of you know we learn lessons through hard trials? Many people say, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to deal with these things. But listen to me. God allows us to go through trials because that's where we learn things in life. How many know a skilled sailor doesn't become skilled unless he's in massive waves, massive storms, massive things of life? And the same goes for you and I. And here he is, Jesus says, go to the other side. And all of a sudden, when he gives this commandment, a man comes up to him and says, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And there's something that we have to understand is God stirs you and I to do something for him. I don't know about you, church, but I'm thankful that God could use someone like me. I never thought I'd be a pastor. Heck, I barely even like going to church. Yes, I was raised in church, but you know, I was just there. I never understood salvation. But let me tell you something. God stirs every single one of us. And here is a man. He's stirred. And the Bible says that Jesus responds to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What it's basically saying is, you and I are called not to stay in one place. See, we believe Christianity is being comfortable. Christianity is always moving. Christianity is always putting someone else before ourselves. Christianity is loving someone even when we don't want to love them. You ever been in that place? You ever been in the moment where God's telling you, you need to forgive, you need to move on, you need to get past this, and we're like, no, not right now. Listen, Jesus is telling him, listen, there's nowhere to lay your head. That you and I are not called to stay in one place, but we're called to move on. Then another one of his disciples came and said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Jesus makes a statement, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now you might think, well, man, he was just thinking about his family. But what he was basically saying is, I will follow you, but not right now. This morning, are we wanting to follow God but have an excuse? Pastor, I'm in church. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've seen the devil in church. My question to you is, are you following God? Are you obeying him? Is he pulling you and drawing you to something more than just showing up to church? How many know showing up to church doesn't make us follow God? I've said this to my church many a times. Just because I go to the Denver Broncos stadium doesn't mean I'm a Bronco player. Although I could probably play for him. Just kidding. Sorry, Luke. Lucas is giving me the stink eye. I'm sorry, brother. Listen to me, church. God isn't calling us to just go to church. God is calling us to follow him. To walk with him. Now, here's the meat of my story that I want to get into here. Now, the Bible says that when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. I want you to think about this for a moment. Getting in a boat and going to the other side, they claim is by the Sea of Galilee there. How many know getting into the boat means leaving your comfort zone? You're leaving what you're used to. Some of us are used to our sins. Some of us are used to things in our lives that we've had to deal with over and over and over. And here we are, we're sitting in a boat, but it's more than just sitting in a boat. It's casting away. How many know it makes no sense just to get in a boat to sit on the shore? It makes no sense. How many of you would sit in your car with the engine being blown and just pretend you're driving? No, none of us want to do that. And listen, there's a lot of things we pretend we could do, right? Some people sing karaoke and they're belting it out. And listen, pastor said there's a no talent talent show. Yeah, come and pretend them. But listen, we don't get in the boat to sit on the shore. Jesus said, follow me. Are you and I willing to say, you know what? My house is over here. My family's over here. All this is over here. I'm not talking about going out and preaching right now. I'm talking about saying, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Sometimes getting in the boat is leaving friends that you used to hang out with. Sometimes it's leaving family members that are dragging you down. Sometimes it's leaving places you used to hang out that just drew you in with sin. My question this morning is, are any of us willing to get in the boat? Come, follow me. Many times they got in a boat and they went somewhere. Are we going somewhere this morning? Or are we still on the shore? Because let me tell you what happens a lot of time. I've seen this in churches happen multiple times. There are people who will get in the boat. They'll follow Jesus. They're doing what Jesus wants them to do. But then there are people on the shore saying, hey, you guys should do this. You guys should do that. And someone says, hey, well, jump in the other boat and follow me. And many people say, yeah, no, I'm good. There's a lot of people who have great ideas of what the church and what the people of God should be doing, but many of them won't join them in the boat. They will not join them. The church should do this. The pastor should do this. The disciple should do this. This. My pastor has always has the mindset, you go and you tell him, pastor, we should do this, and this. You know what he says? Go for it. And I've heard people say, well, I don't want to do it. I just thought it was a great idea. In other words, hey, this is how you should drive the boat, but I'm not going to get in it. Remember, the boat's pulling us somewhere. But let me say this. When you and I get in the boat, we got to remember something, is that we're with Jesus. The Bible says, as they followed him, suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. The boat was covered. All of a sudden, they're following Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you and I decide to follow Jesus fully, tempests arise. You want to know why? Because the enemy knows what God could do with your life. I hate to break the news to you, but I'm going to break it to you. Every single one of you, I don't care how long you've been saved, I don't care your background, you could argue with me till you're blue in the face, but I'm here to tell you, God has a plan for your life in his kingdom. Amen. But pastor, I'm this, pastor, I'm that, pastor, you don't know this and that. Listen to me, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I heard a story of a man working for Apple. Pastor told him this. He was believing God, and Apple came to him and said, you're not ordinary. You're already extraordinary. What do you mean an ordinary? They burned him to make him believe he was greater than what he was. Does that sound familiar? Was there not someone who wanted to be like God? To have the power that he had? He was cast out of heaven. Was there not somebody who ate of some fruit and the serpent says, you will be like God, knowing good from evil? The Bible says pride comes before the fall. And many times we could mistake pride for confidence. No. When you and I step into the boat, listen to me, you're going to have some trials. And I want you to pay attention to what happens here. There wasn't just storms. All of a sudden, the Bible says that the tempest arose on the sea, and the boat was covered with waves. The waves weren't hitting the boat. The waves were covering the boat. How many of you have ever been in boats and waves splashing over them. I don't think we have, right? I honestly don't think anybody here, unless you have, you know what I'm talking about. But this is talking about waves starting to come in. How many know it's one thing if waves are hitting the side of the boat? It's another when waves are coming in. Listen to me. There's going to be some things internally that start to arise when you follow Jesus. Some struggles, some heartaches, all these things that are taking place that you're like, I don't understand why this is happening. And I'll tell you why it's happening. Because the enemy knows that you following Jesus, me following Jesus, something good is going to happen. But what is that? We'll get there. It's a struggle. Think about this. They're wet. They're in a boat. It's windy. It's blowing. They're wet. Their life's a mess. How many know when you're drenched, you're weighed down? How many have ever felt weighed down when it comes to following God sometimes? Listen, there's a reason for that. And the reason is the enemy's trying to come and attack you and I. But the Bible says that Jesus was asleep. When I read the Bible, I put myself in the story. And when I read this, if I was one of the disciples, I would have looked at him and said, bruh. I want you to think about this. He's there and he's sleeping. It's chaotic. It's all these things. And my thought process would have been, Jesus, did you just not tell somebody that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, but here he is sleeping? Right? Oh, he said this, but look at him now. Jesus just said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, and there he is sleeping. Pastor Jesus mentioned this in his offering, and it holds true here. In the world, wherever you lay your head, you'll find no rest. There's no rest in the world. If you put your mind on relationships, on money, on what material things, all these things, you try laying your head there, you'll find no rest. But do you find it interesting that Jesus finds rest in the middle of the storm? Do you know that you and I could find rest in the middle of the storms? My pastor said this when we to every person who's ever sent out. He said, there's no safer place to be than in the eye of the storm. How many know when there's a tornado, the safest place is smack middle of the storm? Jesus is trying to get them to understand something that he's telling them. Look, there's peace in me in the storms. But you know what we look at life as? We look at life through the eyes of man and say, I shouldn't have this problem. I shouldn't deal with these things. I shouldn't have this and this and this. Let me tell you something. There is no rest in the world. There's only rest in Jesus Christ. He talked about having all this money and yet having struggles. Jimmy Butler is a famous basketball player. And he came out and said he deals with depression. And I remember seeing one of the little comments and says, how can a man making millions of dollars have depression? I'll tell you why, because there's no rest. There's only rest in Jesus. I've watched Christians go through hell and back that have a total peace that surpasses all understanding, as the Bible says, because they're in Jesus Christ. But how many of you know the rest Jesus found in the boat, not on the shore? It's in the boat. It's in the boat that God's moving. It's in the boat that God's doing some things. It's in the boat that the storms are there. And you might be saying, Pastor, why? Why is there storms? Why is this happening? Because how many know we go through trials and tribulations for God to surface some things in our lives? The Bible says that you and I will be refined as a refiner's fire, as silver and gold is refined. How many know in a refinery, things are brought up to massive temperatures for impurities to rise up? Listen, you're going through hell right now because God's trying to bring some impurities to the surface. You're going through chaos because God is saying, listen, I'm allowing this to happen because I want to bring some things to light in your life. Pastor Dal has shared many, many, many wonderful stories about his time in Canada and Alaska and all these places. And one of the saddest stories I've heard him say is this lady got saved. All of a sudden, hell was coming against her. All these things were happening. And she said, I never had any of this happen to me till I got saved. How many of you have ever felt that way? And you know what she said? I don't want this. She walked away from God because she didn't like the storms. How many know we deal with the chaos now or we deal with the chaos for eternity? We go through the struggles and the tribulations now that we have Jesus or we're separated for eternity without Him. The Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, an eternal torment. There's no greater torment in the world, in my opinion, and in any type of creation than to be absent from God. We think pain, physical, all these things, but I want you to think about this. You and I have not felt an absence of God's Spirit. Why? Because God is still in control this morning. He's in total control. Bible says that the disciples came to Him and told Him, and woke Him. Let me ask a question this morning. When trials get hard in your life, do you go to Jesus? Or do you pick up a phone and call someone? Don't misunderstand me here. It's good to call one another and talk about struggles and talk about things that we're going through. The Bible says to confess our sins to one another. You know that? Not when one person's in one booth and another, Lord, forgive me for, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Not that kind, right? My child, what have you done? No. The whole purpose of that is that you and I confess to one another because iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen each other. The Bible says to do that because how many of us know what we're doing when we say this is we're holding each other accountable. But many times we don't like confessing. We're like Adam and Eve. Sorry, John. We hide. The Bible says that they came to Jesus. Listen to me. When you and I are saved, the only help we could get is Jesus. Come all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and it will be given. Jesus goes as far as saying, hey, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask in amiss. In other words, you ask half-heartedly. They come to Jesus, they awake Him, and they say, Lord, save us. We are perishing. I want you to think about this. Sometimes we could be overdramatic, right? For those of you who said nothing, that's you. We all could be over dramatic. But I want you to think about this. The waves were covering the boat. The waves were wetting them and drenching them. How many of you know the boat was probably starting to sink with the waters coming in? We're perishing, we're perishing, we're perishing. And the Bible says when Jesus arose, he said, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" I would be like, "Come on, Jesus, give me a break." Right? All drenched, wet, hair all jacked up, moco's probably running down. You're shivering and you're like, "What do you mean? How can I be of little faith?" Why did Jesus say this? If there's something that I've learned over the years of my Christianity and being a pastor, we look at a statement like that and look at Jesus like, really? But Jesus makes a statement like that because every single time Jesus' focus, God's focus, is to make you and I realize something. And that realization is, stop looking at the storms and look at me. That's his whole focus. We look at the storms. We look at the struggles. We look at the trials. We look at things we do not have. We look at areas that God has not moved. I wonder how many people this morning, if I asked you, "What has God done for you?" We could all probably say something. But if I were to then ask you, "Hey, what struggles are you dealing with?" How many know we could ride the train of struggles more than what God did for us? You want to know why? Because that's human nature. You could ask my kids. I tell them all the time. I drill this into their heads. Stop focusing on the negative. What can you and I control? You know what you and I control in the storms? Our attitudes. You can't control the storms. Right? You're not a Marvel comic. Right? Let me say this. Some of us, some of our problems is we are trying to control the storms. And when you and I realize that we can't control the storm, this is where we struggle the most. But the Bible says that in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. You ever think of that scripture? Processed it? Thought about it? What does it mean, Pastor? In our weakness, His strength is made perfect. So what? God's strength is not good when we're strong? Is that what that means? Is that what he's telling us? I thought God was Almighty God. I thought God was this grand God, the maker and the creator of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Most High, the God above all gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, all these things. Does that mean that when we're strong, God isn't? To a certain degree. And let me tell you why. God can only be strong in our lives when we allow Him to be Lord. Dare I say we put ourselves above God many times because we are in control. We want to make decisions. We want to decide the outcome of our lives. We want to say what should and shouldn't happen. You want to know how big God is? let go of control of your life. You want to know how much God could do? Let go and say, Jesus, you're in control. You're in control. Not me, you, Lord. You want to know what God could do? Lord, I'll follow. I'll let the dead bury the dead. I'll be willing to leave the shore. I'll follow. See, Jesus wasn't mad at them because they saw what was on the shore. Jesus was mad at them, and I wouldn't say mad at them, but he told them what he told them because they weren't looking at him. They were looking at the problems. And the Bible says that after they awoke him and he rebuked him, he answered them, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Listen, this morning, I'm going to tell you right now that if you surrender everything to God, things are still going to be the same in your life physically. You still got bills to pay. You still got sicknesses to deal with. You still got areas of your life that you and I need to work on. We still got all these things. But let me tell you something. When we surrender to God and we look to Him, the calm happens inwardly. And when the calm happens inwardly, then we're able to navigate it outwardly. This is why Jesus said, forgive. This is why the Bible says not to let the sun go down on our anger. You ever want to just punch someone in the nose? The throat? You ever watch Rocky or the Karate Kid and after you want to start doing these moves? You ever have that feeling? Because that's what we want to do. But listen to me. It doesn't work that way. I could remember watching a movie. I don't know if it was a movie or a basketball game. And I got up all excited. Yeah, boom, boom. And I threw my back out and my wife's laughing at me. My back's all jacked up. Because God doesn't call it. God calls us to have a calm in our spirit. Life is going to be the same, but inwardly there's a calm. Why? Because you know and I know that Jesus is in control. And let me tell you something. When the calm hits the spirit, then God's allowed to move. You want to know why? Because we're standing back and we're saying, God, you're in control. And when things start to happen, you know that only God did it. People who are afraid to fly aren't afraid of heights. They're afraid of not being in control. I'm driving around town. Jesus is my co-pilot. That's your problem. He shouldn't be your co-pilot. He should be the pilot. Oh, yeah, he's... I tell him what to do.
Jesus, I need you to move in this area. I need you to move in this time.
You want to know why we struggle so much? Is because we want God to fit our will when we should be conforming to His will. Listen to what happens here as I start to close. They were amazed. Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey Him? They just saw Him do miracles. Listen, He just healed a demon-filled man. Now, I read that and I'm like, bro, duh. He just healed somebody. He just did some things. Right? But let me tell you something. You'll always be amazed when God moves in areas you never thought He could. And Pastor Greg Mitchell put out a wonderful, wonderful series of memorial stones. The Bible says that you and I should set up memorial stones in our lives so we remember what God did. We remember what God could do. We remember all these things. So as I start to close here, you might be asking yourselves, what was the purpose of my title, Depart to the Other Side? Maybe you forgot about it. Jesus heals a demonic-filled man, and all of a sudden he says, depart to the other side. Why? Have you ever thought of that statement? Why does he say, depart to the other side? If you look at verse 28, look at what it says here in our scripture, Matthew 8, verse 28. When he had come to the other side of the country of Gergesenes, I practice saying these before I preach, and then I get up here and I butcher it, right? There he met two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come to torment us before our time? See, Jesus understood something. He knew what was on the other side. The Word of God tells us that Jesus and God Himself go before us, that you and I should not fear. That he's prepared things for you and I. And right now, listen to me, what you and I have to understand, what God is doing in us right now is for the other side. And what was that? People. People. I don't know if anybody on this side of the shore knew what was happening on the other side of the sea. But Jesus knew there's some people over there that need some help. There's some people over there that are possessed. Listen to me. The Bible says that they were coming out of their tombs. How many of you know there are people in tombs right now as we speak in this city? Right now, as you and I speak, there are people who are in tombs and they're possessed. And that not only are they possessed, as people can't come and go in that area. Listen, it's a picture of someone's life not having any type of control. Someone's life being demon-possessed. Someone's life in tombs and heartaches and struggles and all these things. And the whole point is that Jesus was trying to get them to understand there's a need. There's a need happening here. No one could pass. No one could move. No one could go through there. These two demon-possessed men, they're there. They're struggling with them, with these demons. I say this all the time to our church. Listen to me. You're going what you're going through because Jesus sees the other side and he's calling you and I to go. My pastor always tells people, tell people your testimony. Because your testimony has impact. There, you could have two people come and witness to someone and tell them their testimony, and your personal life experience could bring some healing. This morning, the other side is filled with people who are lost, who are broken, who are hurting. And I always wonder, What happens to those possessed people if people don't get in the boat? Church, your life this morning, you're here this morning hearing this message because God is trying to get you to reach people on the other side. I don't know about you, but I love the atmosphere of multiple people in church. Those of you who are here, part of this church, I appreciate you accepting us and allowing us to be here, but it's been an excitement. People in our church, we've been here, it's been exciting, and it's nice that we have a place to come and worship. But there's going to be a time that we have to go back to our church, and all these chairs that are filled with people from our church are going to be empty. And when we go back to our church, there's going to be chairs that are empty because of people that are in this church. This is what church should be. And there's people on the other side that could fill these chairs as we depart. There's people that could fill chairs in our church of people that are possessed, people that are going through things and struggles. The other side. As I close here, my question is this. Are you in the boat? Are you on the shore? Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Quickly, no one looking around. This morning, you're here. You're struggling. You're going through some things. Sin has destroyed your life. Listen to me. The Bible says, he who sins is a slave of sin. And this morning, you're tired. You're broken. You're lost. You're hurt. You've tried drugs. You've tried alcohol. You've tried numerous things to fill that void in your heart. The only thing that could fill that void is Jesus Christ. And people look at it, yeah, well, God, yeah, that didn't work. Well, God this, God that, church, all these things. No, I'm talking about a full surrendering of your heart to Jesus. The Bible says it's appointed for a man to die once and then the judgment. We will be judged before God for our sins. And this morning, you're in this place and you're saying, Pastor, I'm hurting, I'm broken, I'm lost. The wages of sin is death, and the penalty for our sins is an eternal separation from God. You're here this morning saying, Pastor, I need salvation. I need God to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I'm going to tell you something. That's the only thing that's going to fix it. That's the only thing that's going to fix it. Maybe you're here, you're holding on to some things. Let me tell you something. Let them go. God will do a miracle in your life. God will heal you. God will fill a void that nobody, no family member, no husband, no wife, no money, no job, no material thing could ever fill except Jesus Christ. You're saying, Pastor, that's me. I want salvation this morning. Why don't you do one thing? Raise your hand. Front to back, left to right. God loves you. He cares for you. Today is the day of salvation. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? Don't fight God. Listen to me. Don't fight God. That resistance you're feeling right now, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. Maybe you're backslidden. You walked with God. You had a relationship with Him. But right now you're hurting, you're broken, you're lost. No matter what you do, it's like putting a band-aid on a bullet wound, trying to fix your life. Quickly, front to back, left to right. You haven't raised your hand already. You're backslidden. You're not saved. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? I can see that hand. You can put it down. I can see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? I see that hand. You can put it down. You haven't raised your hand. Raise your hand quickly. Front to back, left to right. You need salvation. Coming to church is not the answer. Surrendering to God and following Jesus is. You feel Him. I could feel it. There are people in here. God is tugging on your heart. You need salvation. You haven't raised your hand. I want you to do it quickly. Front to back, left to right. God loves you. He cares for you. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. I'm changing the order of service. And listen to me, Christian. Maybe you're on the seashore. Maybe you're afraid to follow. Maybe you're not sure about this whole Christianity thing, but let me tell you something about storms. Storms hit whether you're on the sea or you're on the shore. The question is, where is Jesus during them? Are you in the midst of Jesus? Are you in His presence? Are you where He wants you to be? Are you somewhere else? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're somewhere else, if I'm somewhere else, we're going to struggle. There's no safer place to be than with Jesus right in the middle of the storm. You got to surrender. I got to surrender. And listen to me, church. As we do this, God will calm our spirit. Everything that we're going through has to do with the other side. Jesus was trying to get them to understand there's a need elsewhere. And I'm going to tell you something. That need is filled with you carrying the love and the testimony of who Jesus Christ is in your life. Before we stand, if you raise your hand, I want you to look up at me. If you meant that, I want you to come up. We need some altar workers, people to pray with these. Maybe you didn't raise your hand and you need Christ. I want you to come. Come, we need some men, some women. Pray with these four women if we can. Amen. One more. Maybe one more woman. One more woman if we can. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. God's dealing with you on some things. Come and surrender. Come and surrender. Right here, Paulette. Right here. Yeah, one of them.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
And I'm
desperate for
this morning, Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Lord, Roboshi Karabashi Kerebeshi Kerebeshi Kerebeshi. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. This morning, there's some here. You've come to the tipping point of your life and you've said, I'm done. I'm done. And you're broken. You're totally broken. You don't know what to do. You don't know what next step to take. I'm going to tell you this morning, you're there because God has you there. And the only way you're going to get past this is if you say, Lord, I surrender all. Let me even say this. It's okay being there. Because God allows us to go through certain things in our life to make us realize, son, daughter, I'm here for you. The moment you're feeling right now is you and I relying on our own strength. And this morning, you got to be willing to say, Pastor, I'm done. I'm done not just with everything. I'm done with feeling this way. You got to be more tired of the way you feel than your circumstances. And I'm going to tell you something. If you will admit that and allow God to move in your life, He'll do so. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, you're saying, Pastor, I need a breakthrough. I want you to just look up at me. Look up at me if that's you. I'm not going to ask you to come up. I'm not going to put your stuff out there. But you're saying, Pastor, that's me. God will only move when you want Him to move. If you don't want God to move, He won't move. God doesn't force Himself on people. I'm going to hold this just a little bit longer. Amen. A little bit longer. God's calling you. You don't like the way you feel, let it go. Trust me, you'll feel a whole lot better. Amen. Those of you who are looking up at me, God's going to give some breakthrough in your life. But you got to be willing to step into the boat. Some of us are afraid to leave things behind because we become comfortable. Even with sin, we could become comfortable. There are some things in your life that you're going to have to say, Pastor, I'm going to let these go. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Lord, I'm going to follow you. In whatever big scheme or whatever little scheme it is, Lord, I'm going to follow you. That's as simple as a change of heart this morning. If you will do that, let me tell you something. You'll see some peace in your life. You'll see some peace. And Jesus made a statement, those who seek to keep their life lose it. But those who lose their life gain it. Pastor said it this morning, when you give your life fully to God, He gives it right back. The things that matter to you, He gives right back. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then He will give you the desires of your heart. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to lead you through a prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your love and grace, for salvation and the blood of Jesus. I repent of any stubbornness, pride, and resentment that I've carried in my heart due to things happening in my life. Lord, I take my eyes off the storms, the struggles, the have-nots, and I put them on you. I ask this morning that your peace and your calm would enter into my life regardless of what's happening. Lord, I surrender all before you right now, that you would use my life for the other side. We take dominion and authority right now by the blood of Jesus. God, come down and fill our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray right now, God. We ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would move, that you would have right away, God. God, that you would move upon these hearts and these lives, God, that you would give a breakthrough in a time of need, Lord God. God, let there be a grace and a mercy. Hallelujah, church. Amen. Listen to me. God's going to move in your life if you want him to. I read something and it stayed one time and it stayed in my mind ever since. Satan cannot force himself on you unless you allow him. God will not force himself on you unless you allow him. In other words, we accept either God or the things of evil in our lives. And this morning, if you want a peace, you have to want to accept it. God ain't just going to come down and touch you and everything going to be okay. It's going to take a repentance and God moving in your life. And let me tell you something. When you do that, I could tell you right now, I carried bitterness in my heart as a Christian for a year, year and a half. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. And I honestly believe that's half of the struggles this world faces, as you've seen lately, forgiveness. People have told me, I can't forgive. Jesus said, if you can't forgive those who hurt you, how can I forgive you? Let's bow our heads as Pastor comes. Let's give God glory.